Jack Johnson has become quite famous in the annals of boxing history for a lot of reasons. He won the World Heavyweight Championship as the first African-American in 1908. And then it was a while before another African-American won a world championship.
That's right. And that would be Atlantan Tiger Flowers, who became the first African-American boxer on this date, 1926, to capture the world middleweight champion. And he had been the first African-American since Jack Johnson to challenge for a world boxing title.
This guy was a stevedore, a longshoreman by profession, wasn't he?
That's right. He grew up in Brunswick and worked on the docks. He moved briefly to Philadelphia for a while, then came back to Brunswick, and then came to Atlanta in the very early 20s. Basically had worked as a laborer of different types, and then increasingly became a serious boxer once he moved here around 1920. And gradually made his way up the ranks with sort of an astounding schedule of bouts. In 1924, for instance, he fought 36 bouts. 1925, 31 bouts. Sort of gruelingly made his ascent up the middleweight ranks in a world that was dominated by racism, where the actions of a black man in the ring were carefully scrutinized by the media, by the public, where it was not easy at all, where, you know, many fights were rigged, where he, by and large, had to fight north of the Mason-Dixon line, and where the whole universe was dominated by the figure of Jack Johnson. Now, Jack Johnson had been this early 20th century heavyweight champion, very flamboyant, transgressed many of the mores of the day, was arrested on morals charges, a hugely controversial figure. And when Jack Johnson defended his title in 1910, and there was footage, film footage of the fight, race riots, what I call white riots, broke out in 40 American cities all over the country, where white men were just incensed at seeing this footage of the fight and just went berserk in the street following Jack Johnson's triumph. So this is the universe in which Tiger Flowers operates.
Tiger Flowers, though, is perceived, his persona, his image in the public is 180 degrees different than that of what Jack Johnson had been.
Sure. He's sort of seen as the anti-Jack Johnson. He's portrayed, carries a Bible with him in the ring. He's called the Georgia Deacon or the Fighting Deacon among his nicknames. He's active in the Butler Street CME church here. He's upright and honest and accommodating. He's billed as the whitest black man in the game, you know, in many of the advertisements. And it says that, the whitest black man in the game. And he's also returned south. He went north. He came back south. All of this stuff is how Tiger Flowers is portrayed in the ring.
So on February 26, 1926, he steps into the ring for the World Middleweight Championship against a white boxer.
A man named Harry Greb, who had held the title for a while, had been avoiding Flowers for about 18 months as the challenger had sought a fight. And finally, they do fight in Madison Square Garden in New York, and Tiger Flowers wins the upset. Greb comes in as a 5-1 favorite, and Tiger Flowers wins an easy decision and defended his crown amazingly, you know, for the next 8 or 9 months, another 10 times until December of that year, December of 1926.
He beats Greb again in a rematch.
He does.
So he beats this guy twice.
He beats Greb in a rematch. And in December, however, he loses a bout in Chicago to a man named Mickey Walker under what could only be called dubious kind of circumstances. There's lots of rumors that the fight was rigged, that the mob somehow was involved. You know, many onlookers of the fight think that Tiger Flowers has won the decision, but he loses his crown in December of 1926.
Nonetheless, Tiger Flowers, I mean, despite that, could have gone on, but tragically, his life comes to an end.
Yeah, in 1927, the following year, he undergoes surgery to replace scar tissue around his nose and eyes, and he dies during surgery at the age of 32 or so. He would have certainly been among the top contenders, would have probably had a rematch with Walker and so forth.
His death is a big shock to Atlanta.
It's a big shock, and it's a big deal. It is the largest turnout for any funeral in Atlanta until the funeral of Martin Luther King Jr. in 1968. 7,000 people pack the municipal auditorium. It's sort of this astounding scene of black and white residents pouring out in tribute to Atlanta's middleweight champion.
Cliff Kuhn, thank you very much. Oh, wait a minute. We got more?
Yeah, I think the story of Tiger Flowers doesn't end.
Well, hold on. You want to pick that up on the end of that last sentence. Okay,
yeah.
So
The story of Tiger Flowers doesn't end. He had a very large mansion on the west side of town on what was then Simpson. Now it's Joseph Boone. And the estate, his mansion was torn down in the early 60s, and his estate gave it to build a fire department, a fire station, station number 16, I think it is, on the west side of town, which became the site of the first African-American firefighters employed by the city of Atlanta who came on the force in April of 1963. And earlier this year, we celebrated their 50th, that 50th anniversary. And so, you know, it was the family of Tiger Flowers that gave that land to build that firehouse that would become the site of the first black firefighters in the city of Atlanta, 1963.
That's a great legacy.
Yep.
Cliff Kuhn, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.